Chicago, Chicago blues all around. Chicago, Chicago blues all around. But there's one less guitar player, another blues man has gone down.
Guitarist Bob Margolin here, lamenting the passing of another in a long line of blues artists who called Chicago home. He sings, "Going to Chicago, Chicago blues all around." It's not a dirge, but it's definitely some down deep from the bottom of the soul blues. There's one less guitar playing, another bluesman has gone down. Margolin was influenced by so many of them, most especially by the great Muddy Waters. Margolin joined the Muddy Waters band in 1973, and he tells stories about how he found his way to the old-style Chicago blues and how he's dedicated to keeping the tradition alive and passing it along. Margolin does just that by playing, recording, and touring. And he'll be here in central Pennsylvania for the 28th annual Billtown Blues Festival on June 10th.
Well, you like the boogie, I like the blues. Come on, put on our rocking shoes. Boogie at midnight. Boogie at midnight.
We might think of Williamsport as a somewhat unlikely bastion of the blues, but the music scene reached a critical mass there 3 decades ago when individuals who loved the blues started planting the seeds in a careful way, building an audience for the blues and a community of those who care about the tradition and want to keep it alive and pass it along. Two of the key tenders of that tradition are Bonnie Tallman and Charlie Lockhart, two of the founders of the Billtown Blues Association and coordinators of the annual Billtown Blues Festival. They paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about building an audience for the blues here, about this year's festival, and the expansion into a week-long celebration leading up to June 10th.
We started just really a little gathering of local people that had a common interest of this music. We didn't really realize it when it was going down, but then in hindsight, looking back, it was very obvious. There was a local club in Williamsport that was really opening their doors to some blues music. There was a little local group in town called the Impromptu Blues Band, which says it all. And then people like Queen Bee and the Blue Hornet Band out of State College and Ben Andrews out of Maryland, they were starting to get some prominence and they were touring to New York and other places, and this little club in Williamsport would offer them a stage and some food on the way through town. And so that was going on. And then Charlie and I went to Memphis, Tennessee to the Blues Music Awards, and they had a workshop there. Now again, this was back in 1988-89. In Memphis is the Blues Foundation. And of course, their mission is to take that history and that culture that is prevalent in Memphis and get it connected all over the world through blues societies and festivals and radio and so forth. So they were having all these little workshops that particular year we went down. And it was how to start a blues festival, how to get blues on the radio, how to start a blues association. And so we came back from there with this information. At the time, we didn't really know what we were going to do with it, but we had a lot of information. And so the first thing we did is, okay, we got to get this music on the radio. People have got to hear it and even know that it exists. So we went to radio station after radio station after radio station in probably a 50-60 mile radius, maybe further. Nobody would even give us the time of day. But we finally, and you know, it was just fortuitous, we found this man who was going to start brand new from scratch a radio station. Remember, this was 1989. He had a vision that radio shouldn't just be one format, like a classic rock or or sports or whatever. He wanted to have a variety of different things on his radio station. So when Charlie went in and you know, we're saying we'd like to do blues, he didn't really know what it was either, but he said, hey, it's different, do it. So we paid him $100 a week. We knew nothing, never saw a board. Charlie had the albums that we used, and we had like a half an hour lesson on how to cue them up and how to operate the board. And so we're paying, but Charlie's playing this fantastic music, and all of a sudden people are calling, how can we advertise? What can we do? How can we get involved? And so we were able to recoup our expenses through advertising. And so we've got live bands coming through town. We've got Charlie on the radio. And then there's a little independent record store in Williamsport at that time called TLM Records. And there was a guy in there, Bill Wilson, who's still part of our organization. And he just loved the blues, listened to the show. And so he would play blues through the house system of TLM Records every day that he worked. And people'd come in and he'd say, do you like that? You know, here's the album, you ought to buy it, blah, blah, blah. So this just started reaching out in all these different directions. None of us knew each other, but we all came to know each other. And we said, you know, let's have a party. And so we talked to the county commissioner, who had a private property along the river. We called it the Delta. It was along the Susquehanna River. And he said, sure, you're welcome to go down there. So that was where we had the first blues festival, and that was in 1990. And there were six of us who actually finally met and decided we were going to do this. We each put $50 on the table. So with a $300 investment, we started the event, and it was so well received. When it was all said and done and everything was paid, we had $38 left over, and that became the seed money to start an official association, because we felt it's one thing to play the music and to be entertained by the music, but it's another thing to have a mission to preserve the art form. And so that was the beginning of the association. It was like a year after the festival that we finally got it all together. So that's how it happened.
You're now not on the Delta along the Susquehanna. You're at your now pretty much home.
It's a home, and it's in Hughesville, and that's where Charlie's been his whole life. So you can talk about the fairgrounds.
Yeah, it's the Lycoming County Fairgrounds. It's been there for 125, 150 years. They have an annual fair, and we were probably one of the first organizations that started using the stage and having musical events there. We turn the stage around and play into a big grassy field, so it's much more of a picnic type area where you can move around a little bit instead of being confined to a grandstand and into seats. So it's much more conducive to our event, and there's lots of parking and lots of space, which are the things we need, and a big stage.
And I know you're listening all the time, not just for this event, but you're listening because you love the music, so you know what you can play on radio. And you're listening, Bonnie, always. Whom haven't we had, and what's a good sound to mix with other? You told us as we sat down that you've already prepared a list for next year's Festival of Possibilities. What were you thinking of, and how did you come to this lineup?
Well, as with every year, because we're just a small festival, in the world of festivals, we're a small festival, and we are only one day. And so to keep a lineup that's interesting, it takes some thinking and some planning. And I always look at it as a body of work. How can this festival be more than just one band following another band? How can the whole event be a body of work? And so I look at, okay, who's up and coming? Who's up and coming enough that they're going to be around for a while? And with that in mind, I went with Mike Zito, who has been around a while. He's a young man, relatively speaking, to present company, quite a young man, actually. But he's really created a buzz. He's got his act together. He's got a full team operating behind him. So I had him on the list early. And I always then go to, okay, who's been there, done that, might be coming on the downside of prominence because other people have come up and taken his or her place, but is still an incredible performer and deserves to keep working. And so with that in mind, I focused in on Bob Margolin. And Bob Margolin played with Muddy Waters for 7 years. He was picked by Muddy Waters a few hours before a concert out of desperation, and then just stuck with him. And to this day, I think that he can play Muddy Waters music better than anybody that I've ever heard. But he was also, because of that, he was in The Last Waltz. And this was the 40th anniversary tour of The Last Waltz. And so I thought, well, that would be nice to have, you know, Bob on the bill. Well, lo and behold, Bob is bringing Bob Stroger, who was Muddy Waters' bass player, who's 85 years old. And then a man out of Phoenix, Arizona, by the name of Bob Corator, who has been one of these ambassadors of the blues for quite a long time, helping people like Henry Gray and John Primer and, you know, some of the older statesmen and stateswomen of the blues. He's brought them under his wing, made it possible for them to get recordings done, and has helped them tour and all of that. And because of dealing with that generation of blues artist, he has learned how to play really solid traditional blues harp. So the closing act this year is called the Bobs of the Blues. Not a very bluesy name, but Bobs of the Blues, Bob Margolin, Bob Stroger, and Bob Corator. And then kind of filling in the gaps, I always try to bring somebody in from Chicago. And so I have Mississippi Heat coming in, another great harp player, Pierre Lecoq. And then his lead singer is a female, Ineta Visor. They're a big group. They've been around. They travel all over the world. Billy Price is coming in. He's kind of a local favorite, even though he's from Pittsburgh. He's really started branching out in the Susquehanna Valley way, way back and developed a nice fan base. And then Chris O'Leary, the Chris O'Leary Band, is actually, I don't know if Chris realizes this yet, but he was at our festival before when he was playing with LaVon Helm. When we had LaVon Helm and the Barnburners a few years back, Chris was the lead singer and played harmonica with them. And so in addition to up-and-coming and legendary, I look at a variety of instrumentation. So we've got two bands that've got big horn sections. We've got traditional instruments like upright bass involved. We have Greg Burgess. He's a regional player from Northumberland, I believe he lives, or Sealands Grove. And he is just a terrific, terrific blues piano player. So we've got, you know, a nice variety of instrumentation, harmonica, of course. And then age, we have ages on our main stage this year ranging from 14 to 85, because our opening act is the Third Street Blues Band, which is a product of the local Williamsport Music School, the Uptown Music Collective. And this past February, they were on the bill at Destination Blues, and people just absolutely went crazy over them. They had encores, they had standing O's, and so we felt, you know, they really should be on the Billtown bill. So that's the main stage lineup, not in that order, but, oh, and Jeff Fetterman, in March, we have, the Billtown Blues Association has, I hate to use the word competition, we call it a challenge, where our membership, which is around 300 people, not all of them come to this, but a good part of our membership comes, and they actually receive ballots. And the ballots and the whole process is exactly like the International Blues Challenge in Memphis. And through this balloting process, they select a solo, a duo, and a band performer. And Jeff Fetterman, who's from Bradford, Pennsylvania, won. And so he'll be on the main stage. He earned that right. And then the acoustic tent?
And the acoustic tent, which is adjacent to the main stage. And when there's something, a break going on the main stage, we move the music over to the acoustic tent so we can say there are 10 hours of continuous music at the Billtown Blues Festival. And we're going to be having this year Dave Brumbaugh, who is the head of the Uptown Music Collective and kind of the founder of the Uptown Music Collective. It's his dream and passion, and it has developed into a wonderful thing. And he's going to have a guitar workshop where he'll be working with adults as well as children to put together a tune and everybody get to play. And he's done this 3 or 4 years, and it's very successful, and people are coming out for it. And Doug McMinn, who has been on the blues scene in the Susquehanna Valley in the Lewisburg, Williamsport area for as long as we've been around, plus before that. And he's going to be performing with a young lady by the name of Hannah Bingman. And they've been making music for the last 10 years. This is their 10th anniversary of playing together. So they're going to be doing a set. And we have a group called the Twin Sinners, which are two people, Alan Combs, number two, and Stacia Abernatha. They were the winners of our solo duo competition at the Billtown Blues Challenge. That earned them the right to play in the acoustic tent and go to Memphis, Tennessee in the International Blues Challenge. So they're going to be putting together a show. And then Bob Margolin will be doing a special show over at the acoustic tent. And he'll be telling some stories about his life with Muddy Waters and his life on the road. And he'll also be performing. And he'll have a lot of special guests. I'm sure there'll be some young folks from the Uptown Music Collective that will be playing with him. And the acoustic tent has been a big success, because the people that go over to the acoustic tent go over because they really want to hear the music. And kind of that's what it's all about. They're there to hear the music, and they really listen, and they give a lot of respect to the musicians over in the acoustic area. So that's been a big popular addition, and I'm really glad that some folks had the vision to start it.
And you've just laid it out for us about the crafting of the schedule and how the acts are balanced over the course of the day and night, considering the blues as not just one monolithic thing.
Yeah, because a lot of people think it can be boring. It's very sad. And who wants to listen to 10 hours of that music? And they come and they find out the different variety that's involved and go with a complete different feeling for what the blues is and what it's all about.
Do people get up and dance?
Oh, yeah. Dancing is a big part of the blues. If a band can make somebody get up and dance, they're doing their job.
I think it's wonderful that you have a theme song and you get everybody in the mood with the theme song. Tell us about that.
Festival Time Boogie, Sister Monica. Sadly, she has passed away, but when we first heard that song, oh golly, probably 20 years ago, I would say, we first found that song, and we had heard of the Billtown Blues Festival, and it just talks about, come, bring your lawn chairs, bring your family, don't forget to dance, sit down, have a good time, meet your friends, and you know, it's like it was written for our festival. And so I program a lot of music from when the gates open until we start. I program music for there and then between the acts. And Festival Time Boogie is okay. It's just about ready to start because we're here in Festival Time Boogie. And then Charlie hits the stage as the MC right after that. So again, this is such a, you know, it's such a little event, but it's a production in its own way. I want to share with you when you said about broadcasting the seeds. Our very first sound company, which was a rock artist, not rock and roll, I mean rock, heavy rock, but a personable guy, and I knew he had his own sound system, and his vehicle to go to his own shows was an old bread truck. But we approached him, and he was hip to it, so he came to our very first festival that we actually were powering the stage and all the sound equipment through jumper cables on the man's private property and praying that nobody would trip over the jumper cables. I mean, it was very primitive. But anyway, when we outgrew the site and we went to the bigger site, he came too, and we were actually using his primitive equipment with Band-Aids and bungee straps for the next 2 years at the bigger location. But then we knew we couldn't do that any longer. So I started hiring bigger companies to come in, but I kept him on. I said, nobody knows this better than you. His name is Kevin Mix. And I said, I'd really like you to stay on as our stage manager. And so he did and is still there. But one thing that struck me several years after he started working with us, is he came up to me one day and he said, Bonnie, you know, I'm a rock guy. He said, you know, I'm AC/DC, I'm Kiss, I'm, you know, I even like metal and this and that. And he said, but by being a part of this festival for so long and seeing so many artists come in and listening and watching, he said, everything that I've ever done has been blues. It's just buried deeper, but it all comes from what I've heard at the festival. And when I heard him tell me that, I thought, yes, we've done it. You know, we've driven the point home to people, which is what our mission is. And there are three goals. We only have three goals. One goal is that the musicians, when they pack up and leave, feel like they did the right thing by taking the gig. That they might have had to turn down a bigger offer or more money or whatever after they accepted us, but, you know, they accepted our offer. They were contracted to be there, and in hindsight, they made the right decision. And the second thing is like Charlie said, when people leave and we start getting letters and emails and responses to our surveys, and they say, you know, we've been there 15 years in a row and we can't wait for next year, that kind of thing. And then the third thing, which I must admit becomes more difficult every year, but, you know, we remain debt-free and that we're able to pay all of our vendors and all of our services when it's all said and done. And thankfully, we've never had a problem where that has been a problem. So those are the three things, which are pretty simple, and but needed.
Give us the facts again, then, about where, when, and all of that.
When, second Saturday in June the 10th. Lycoming County Fairgrounds in Hughesville. And from the folks coming this way, that's out Route 118. And when you get into Hughesville this year, there's a little bit of construction, but no problem, because there'll be a detour to the left. They'll take you right into the fairgrounds. So it's actually going to be easier this year, I hope. And starts at 12 noon. Gates open at 11. We quit around 10 o'clock. Lots and lots and lots of free parking. There'll be no problem. And people can bring some food if they want. They don't have to buy the food at the fairgrounds, although it is very reasonable, very diverse, very good. And we also have craft vendors. We have an area designated for them, and you will have the opportunity to see some nice crafts as you walk around between acts if you don't go to the acoustic tent. So there'll be things to do, and it's always a great time. We'll have our souvenir t-shirt, which we've got 28 years. BilltownBlues.org, tell you where you can get tickets, tell you how to get tickets, and it's very easy, especially today. You can get them on the internet at our website, BilltownBlues.org, and there's various places around the area that you can get tickets, from Williamsport to Mansfield to Wellsboro to Lewisburg to Milton, Hughesville, Muncie. There's lots of places to get tickets, and the easiest way to find out where is www.BilltownBlues.org.
It's too bad we're not on TV, because you have last year's, is it?
Yep, this is last year's. I am pretty much a walking Billtown Blues billboard year-round. I mean, I live in my T-shirts. But for our 25th Blues Festival, three people went together and took all 25 shirts at that time and made a quilt. Now, putting the T-shirts together probably has been done a million times by quilters, but this particular quilt, there's all this intricacy around the shirts, stitching and musical related stuff. I mean, it is absolutely breathtaking. And this year, sort of new, we've actually had the mayor of Williamsport proclaim the week leading up to the festival as Bright Lights Big City Blues Week in Williamsport. And so the whole week leading up to the festival, we've got live blues music in a number of downtown Williamsport venues. We have films. The Last Waltz is going to be shown. The film where Muddy Waters is playing in his hometown Chicago club, the Checkerboard Lounge, and who walks in but the Rolling Stones. And so he brings them up on stage. And then another film, relatively new, called I Am the Blues, which takes place in the Delta, in Bobby Rush's area, and a whole bunch of Lazy Lester, a whole bunch of great people are in that film. And then another movie called Full Moon Lightning, and it's actually a true story about Floyd Lee, and it's just a great, great film. And so those films are going to be shown at the Uptown Music Collective during this week leading up to the festival. And going back to the quilt will be, we wanted to involve visual arts as well. So we have a number of art galleries in town that are showing various things. And this quilt will be shown at an art gallery right in the center of town in Williamsport. And so there's a huge schedule involved with all of that, as you can imagine. But all that schedule is on BilltownBlues.org under the icon Bright Lights Big City Blues Week. And you just click there and you can learn all of those happenings. Plus, we have a whole bunch of hotels this year. Our host hotel has always been the legendary Ginetti Hotel. Hotel. They've been our host hotel for 28 years. That's where all of our artists stay. And a number of other hotels are offering special rate festival packages and lodging this year for us. You know, and the festival is sort of the climax to all of the activities that are going to take place during the week.
Bonnie Tallman and Charlie Lockhart, festival coordinators with the Billtown Blues Association, speaking with us about the 28th annual Billtown Blues Festival, Saturday, June 10th at the Lycoming County Fairgrounds, East Lycoming Street in Hughesville, Pennsylvania, from noon to 10 p.m., rain or shine. The gates open at 11 a.m. For more information on the web, BilltownBlues.org, BilltownBlues.org, and among the headliners... Bob Margolin with guests Bob Corator and Bob Stroger, and the list is a long one. It will be 10 hours of live music, noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday, June 10th at the Lycoming County Fairgrounds in Hughesville, and it's Rain or Shine, the 28th annual Billtown Blues Festival. And as Bonnie explained, the week leading up to June 10th next week, Bright Lights Big City Blues Week in Williamsport in Billtown, and there will be music at the Uptown Music Collective, films, galleries will have art on display, and there'll be much more. For all the details, BilltownBlues.org, BilltownBlues.org.